We talked about angels. We talked about demons. There's a lot of demonic activity and mental illness. And Larry was telling me about a man and a woman, and the woman programmed her daughter into killing her husband, shooting him. She shot him, and then she said, shoot him one more time. And this happens. This goes on. Children can be programmed against one parent or the other, and sometimes it's this absolutely, and it's demonic activity too, it's absolutely irreversible in many cases. We talked about demons, we talked about angels, and the activity of demonic angels and false religion, but in everyday life you have this also. I knew a woman that called upon demonic activity to help her to influence people. And she called upon them to do that. And she did. It worked. Very powerful person. Because she worked with demons. Now, we're going to read here in the book of Colin DeLeesh about the angel of the presence. The angel of the presence. And we're going to see this activity. Moses' mother, when she married her nephew, was 126 years old. And we see that. That's Jochebed and Amram. Now, Jochebed and Amram had a child. And this child had a lot of names, didn't he? Moses' names. Mm-hmm. We talk about Moses' name. How different names that they had. Shabar and Kek Jakuthiel. Shabar means united. And that's when Jochebed put his wife away for 3 years. Because they didn't want to he didn't want her to get pregnant, so they'd have to expose the child and kill the child because Pharaoh had ordered all the children to be killed, all the males. And so anyway, they finally came back, and then they called her this child Shabar because Moses and mother and father had come together and were united. And then his mother called him Jay. Kuthiel, which means trust in God. They trusted in God and went ahead and had sex, and they had this child, and they trusted in God that God would save the child. And then Miriam called him Jared, descending, because she descended down in the water looking for him when they put him in that basket and sent him down the Nile River to die. They did just like everybody else did. Aaron called him Abi Zanuk. He was called Kahath. He was called Ebedok. He was called Abi Sako. His tabernacle has fallen. Abi Gadare, upon the breach. Different ones called him different things. Shemamiah, Shema Dezor. Well, anyway, Moses was born. Now, he's kept for 3 months in his house, and they muzzle his cries and everything else, but then finally he's found out. And so they take this child, and they build this basket around, and I'm sure there was a lot of baskets floating down the Nile River. But this is the chosen one. This is the elected one to raise Israel, bring Israel out of Egypt. And remember, this is the Egyptian bondage now. They've been down there for about 300, almost 400 years. And they've got millions of people down there in Egypt. And Egypt is the type of the world, isn't it? Sometimes God doesn't take us up to heaven when we're born again. But he leaves us in this cesspool down here. Jesus lived in this cesspool, didn't he? We're here for the one reason is to reach others for Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to read from you from 2 and 4. I'm not going to read all the Hebrew that's there, but give you a translation of it. And she took her stand. Now his sister, this is Miriam. Miriam means what, by the way?
Bitter.
And she took her stand, his sister, from a distance. Ladia, to know. What, ma, what, ya'isa, what would be done to the child, to him. Moses' family exposed him to the Nile River and to death just like all the other families did. But now Miriam is out there watching what will happen to the child, because according to the book of Jasher, Miriam had had a vision that this child should be great and he shall lead his people out. When you watch the movie Exodus by Cecil B. DeMille, it doesn't tell you the biblical side of this, really. It's using the Bible and everything else, but Moses, according to the Cecil B. DeMille, did not know his mother and father, but he grew up there. His mother and father was paid by Pharaoh to raise him, and he knew his brother, and he knew his sister, and he knew his family. So let's go on now. And she went, the daughter of Pharaoh. Now we know that according to the book of Jasher, there was a great, what we call a heat wave. A terrible heat wave, and everybody's going down to the Nile River to bathe in the Nile River and to lay in the shade down there and to try to resist the heat to some extent. And so that's what's going on here. Now she goes down to the river. Not only did she go down the river to take a bath, and they were very clean people. The Pharaoh, you know, the Egyptians, they shaved their heads, they bathed themselves every day. If they sweat, they would go down and bathe themselves again. They had bathtubs in their houses, and they'd have water pouring over them and all this kind of stuff that they had slaves. They were a very clean people. And this heat wave was making them sweat, and they were taking baths all the time. I went and took a bath yesterday morning, and then when I worked outside doing all kinds of stuff, then I took a shower before we went to our little dinner last night because I was soaking wet. With sweat. And the Egyptians did not like sweat on them, and they did not like odor, and they were a very clean people. So she's down there bathing and trying to escape the heat. And she went down there to bathe. Lirchos, it says here, Lirchos. She went down there to bathe and to keep on bathing, as was it says here, unto the river. And it says, and her maidens. She had other maidens there with her servants coming down here. And they're all down there in the water bathing themselves because they don't want to smell bad. So they're out there bathing themselves because they're around the princess of Egypt. And they're walking by the side of the river, by the lip of the river. Al Yad Hayor, by the lip of the river, Wateray, and she saw. And she saw the basket that Moses was floating in. What they did is they took the papyrus reeds and they wove it like a basket. And then they took a tar and they covered outside the basket with tar to make it waterproof. And then they put blankets and whatever they did, you know, to make the child soft in the field. And he's out there floating in the river in his little boat. He's taking a boat ride. Except there's crocodiles and there's great fish in that river that could eat him. And they probably ate a lot of fish. A lot of fish ate a lot of the people already. And when they saw a basket floating down the river, they said, there's food, food. So they bumped the basket and knocked the child out and gobbled him down. And these were all little boys. Unto Pharaoh. What does Pharaoh mean, Marilyn?
The man in the big house.
Man in the big house. And she went, the daughter of Pharaoh, the bot. Pharaoh is what it says, the daughter of Pharaoh, to bathe unto the river, and her maidens walking by the side of the river, and she saw the basket in the middle of the reeds. He's out there in the reeds on the side. And these are papyrus seeds. This is where we got a word paper from that. This is what they made paper from back then. From the papyrus seeds, and she sent. And she sent. Her slave girl, and she took the basket. And she brought the basket. And she opened it up. It was covered up. And she opened up the basket. And she saw him, and she kept on seeing him, the child. Now, God is dealing with her heart. There are ministering spirits out here now that we talked about last time. Remember, we've got spirits all over the place. And we got a good spirit here, and the good spirit is touching the heart of Pharaoh's daughter with kindness. Normally she'd say, oh, there's another Pharaoh. Just dump the guy out in the river. Just dump the basket. Just get it over with. But she didn't. A ministering spirit changed her heart. And behold, it was a boy. Aha! Na'ar, a boy, a male. The male is supposed to be killed and exposed in the river. But this one here, she falls instantly in love with the child. And then the child is weeping. Masculine singular, cow participle. He just keeps on crying. Moses is crying. He's crying for food. He's crying for mama. And she had compassion. And she kept on having compassion upon him. And she said, from the children of the Hebrews is this one. She knows he's supposed to be killed. But God is dealing with her heart now. You know, Pharaoh put out an order to kill all the male children. So God has elected one to bring his people out. And God has elected Pharaoh's daughter to save him. And the Spirit of God, the ministering spirits, now these are good spirits, now the ministering spirit tells her to have compassion on this child. Now, Moses' names are recorded in Jasher 69:24-31. Remember that now. His father called him Chabar, united. His mother called him Jekuthiel, which means trust in God. Miriam, his sister, called him Jared, descending. And Aaron called him Abi Zanok, for into the his mother returned. His mother returned is what that means. And he was called Abegdor, repair the breach, because his mother and father were separated, and Moses, by them coming together, he repaired the breach that they were separated. Abi Sakol, hidden in the tabernacle. And then Shemaiah, the son of Nathaniel. Shemaiah, all Israel. Nathaniel, in the days of God, heard two cries and rescued them from their oppressors. God heard the cries of his people and rescued them from their oppressors. Now let's go and read this a little more. And she said his sister unto the daughter of Pharaoh. Now Miriam comes and talks to Pharaoh's daughter, Bathia. Talks to Pharaoh's daughter, and the book of Jasher tells her her name is Bathia. And she said, shall I go and shall I call for you a woman who is lactating, who as her breasts are full of milk? Shall I call a lactating woman for you? From the Hebrew women. And that she may want to nag, that she may keep on nursing him for you, the child. Now, according to the book of Jasher, Bathia tried to get several lactating women to nurse the child, but the child would not nurse them. Even though they had breasts and they were full of milk, that he would not nurse them. And finally, she asked Miriam. Miriam asked her, shall I go get a Hebrew woman? These were Egyptian women that was going to nurse him. Now, she said, shall I go get a lactating woman from among the Hebrews? And she said, yes. Now, Bathia meant what? Do you remember what Bathia means?
What's the name?
Bathia.
Bathia.
Bathia. Now, according to the Jewish, or not the Jewish, but the Egyptian theology, the Pharaoh was the god, wasn't he? Pharaoh was representing God. Now, Bathia means the daughter of God. The daughter of God. The daughter of God. Bathia. And she said to her, daughter of Pharaoh, go. And she went, and the maid, now this word here, ha-alma. Now we know that Miriam at this time was sexually mature, because the word alma means a sexually mature woman. And in Isaiah 7:14, it talks about a virgin there, but actually it, the better translation was a sexually mature woman. And the woman did have a child there, but then in the translation of that in the New Testament, it meant virgin, which is referring to Jesus. A virgin or a woman, young woman shall have a child. Later on, they translated it as parthenia in the Greek. A virgin shall conceive. That's when the Septuagint was translated. And she called the mother of the birth child, the one that birthed the child, the mother, the birth mother of the child, is what it says. And then it says, and she said to her daughter of Pharaoh, you lead away the child, and you nurse him, and you shall keep on nursing him, and that was a command too, that's imperative, for me, and I shall give you wages. Pharaoh has demanded that all of the Hebrew children be killed. But now God's going to intervene. You know, God's eternal purpose and his unpreventable process and his election cannot be overruled. Can it? Not possible. So now God is going to turn this murder into his Messiah that will lead out Israel out of Egypt. Pharaoh is going to pay for the raising of that child. Instead of killing, he's going to pay wages to his mother to nurse him. And then she took the woman, the child, and she kept on nursing him. And for how many years, we do not know. But he knew his mother, and he knew his father, he knew his sister, and he knew his brother, and he knew his uncles, and he knew his aunts. He knew all these people, not like the book or like the book of Exodus or like the movie Exodus with Cecil B. DeMille. He knew them. Now verse 10. Vayigdal. And he grew great, the child. He got to be real big. He had plenty of food. Now, you know how you tell an Egyptian poor person from an Egyptian rich person? In a mummy? How do you do this? Their teeth. The poor people ate food that was so full of sand and grit that they wore their teeth out. But Pharaoh, their food was well washed and real high-grade flour and bread and everything, not like the Hebrews. So now, and he's very strong and very big and robust. And she brought him to the daughter of Pharaoh. He's strong now. He's big. He's powerful. And he became to her son. Now, evidently she didn't have any children, but this one was her adopted child. And she called his name Moshe. Can you say Moshe? Moshe. Moshe means to draw out or to rescue. Now Moses, he inspired Pharaoh's daughter to name that child because Moses would rescue his people out of Egypt. And she was divinely inspired to use this name. Moshe. That's the name he would be known as. It's Moses in English, but Moshe in Hebrew, which means to rescue or draw out. And she said, because from the waters, men ha mayim, from the waters, mishi tuhu, I as a female was drawn to him. Think about that now. This is what it said, mishi tuhu. I as a female have been drawn for him. First person construct singular, cow perfect. Suffix third person masculine, a third person feminine singular. And then the other was third person masculine singular. As a female, I was drawn to him. God through his ministering spirits, through Pharaoh's daughter's heart, Bathia's heart, she was drawn to him. What a story, huh? Now, this is an inspired story from God. Wanted to see how many minutes we were. I have to get my messages a little bit short because the connection here is so bad that it takes me days to get some of these longer messages up. But Pharaoh's daughter was inspired by God and ministering spirits touched her heart. But now there's demon spirits and fallen angels all over this area. But now between all of this, because of the will of God and because of the protection of God, his eternal purpose and unpreventable progress and his election of Moses, he uses an enemy of God's people to protect this child. What a joke on Pharaoh. What a joke. You think you can stop God's people when God's got a purpose for you? It's not possible. It's not possible to stop God's people when he has a purpose for you. I've said this many times, and people believe it in my life because I've faced death so many times, and I should have been dead so many times, and God has still left me here. And they say, we know that God's protection is powerful because we just look at you. Poisoned with on purposely, poisoned with arsenic and mercury, three times that I know about. Had enough to kill 9 people, and I'm still alive, shaking still, and blood vessel damages from the circulation because of the arsenic and the mercury, the nerves damage. And then in September, I was poisoned, 40 hours of heavy propane poisoning with nerve damage and oxygen deprivation, lost my hearing, and my eyesight is not good, shaking really bad. Bit by a black widow in August last year, which sometimes kills people. I was very sick. I went to the hospital for about 10 hours. They just told me, you did all the right things. You took Benadryl, you did this and that, and unless you start going into seizures and things, just go home and be okay. You know, just stay around for a day or two, just in case you go into the seizures or whatever, because a black widow paralyzes its victims with great pain. And I can guarantee you that black widow bit me right there on that little finger, and my whole right side of my body was an absolute contortion and pain. And that finger was swelled up and hurting like mad. I didn't know what had happened to me. I didn't even see the black widow. But we see God's protection through his people. We see God's protection in our lives. I had an old man came here a few years ago, and right there where Maryland, he hit the floor after I preached the sermon, and he asked God to save his soul. He'd been a Catholic for 88 years, and he heard the gospel for the first time, and he asked God to save his soul. He said, why did I live all this thing, going through World War II, been in my country fighting against the Germans, and then the Germany comes in and makes me fight against everybody else, and conscript me into the German army, and why did I live through all of that? I said, so God could save you right there. Gigantic, the powers of God are powerful. We look back at people's lives, sometimes we see this. Look at Jim Jones, how he took people, all those people to hell with him. Fooled a lot of society for a long time, didn't he? Demonic activity. But so we see angels and spirits from different realms, from the demon side and the fallen side into the ministering spirits and ministering angels. God's still here. He's still on the throne in our lives and our hearts and protecting us many times. We pray that God will protect America like that. We've got problems today, real, real problems in America. That God would drop the bad guys and let them drown in the Sea of Reeds or the Red Sea, whichever way you want to look at it. If they drown the enemies of God there as they're led so powerfully, that God would protect those others that he had rescued. Our Father, we thank you for this message. We thank you for all the blessings you give us. And Father, please use your message for your honor and glory. Thank you for your protection and your love in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.